Okay, so he continues here on Tzadi Aleph, and I don't know if we're going to do the whole chapter, but I wanted to maybe summarize one or two points. We'll start inside. But again, we were talking, the main two points that we've developed is that A, to try and develop a relationship which we understand and appreciate that Hashem is the creator and we are the creations, and the second one, to feel His presence with us and to try and remind ourselves. Again, I don't know, I found over Yom Tov it was harder to do. Maybe it should have been easier, I'm not sure, but maybe just being distracted, you know, having the moments to think when, you know, at home and running around and preparing for Yom Tov made it a little bit more difficult, but okay, it's a worthwhile challenge. So he writes, once we can feel that there is a God, and becomes part of who we are, it really gives us the life energy. Havodol achar mekein he lahaskel and asos lakir bakar buras, to know clearly bakaras halev in our hearts shall tfisas hametzias hakadosh baruch hu until yedo that Hashem is with us alongside us, whatever difficulties and whatever positives as well, you know, Hashem is right there along with us. And he says avodazu yavodah shel kama shanim kipshuto. There's no, we don't get a certificate when we finish this book. It's not that we have the knowledge, but we have the tools, and we're working on the tools of something that we can use in the long term to have the right effect. When the Messias Hashem describes the trait of fearing Hashem, Kvar Amar Akach, he already spoke about this. Shedavar Zeh, this idea, Shanefesh Takir, Shakarash Baruch Hu Nimtzal Yad Adam, that the person should know that Hashem is next to him. To really think it and to really believe it is extremely difficult. And this is the Ramchal talking. This isn't me talking. This is something which is you know, even for somebody as great as the Ramchal, was something which we strive towards. Because you can't engage any of the senses in the classical sense because we don't feel Hashem in that way. Because our senses are physical. And they can't sense Hashem's presence. So it's our souls that have the ability to feel this. And I think you mentioned this in a different context earlier, but in order, you always need a similar type of tool to sense what you're trying to sense. So if you're sensing something physical, then you need a physical tool. If you're sensing something spiritual, you need a spiritual tool. So, esagashmius chashim ayde chushi haguf. So to sense the physical world, you use our physical senses. Veshalukus chashim rak im koach halukus nimtza b'kol echad v'echad. And godliness needs to come from the sense of the godliness inside of us. Neshama shenasata b'tahorahi, that Hashem gave us this special gift of a pure neshama, and the neshama always stays pure. No matter what we do, it doesn't touch the neshama. We have to deal with it and fix ourselves, but the neshama always stays 100% tahora. And hiya chela kala kamima, this is a piece of Hashem above. And that's the only way to sense Hashem, who, again, can't possibly be felt through our senses. And as long as a person has not succeeded in awakening that spiritual point, so there's no way we're going to feel Hashem's presence here. Now he writes, Lo rak yediyah shel ruchnius. And here he says an important idea. He says that the step in doing this is we have to sort of try to remove ourselves somewhat from the physical world and enter into a spiritual world. Ki gam kishe adam lo meitor mekai mitzvos. We can be learning and we can be doing the right thing and doing mitzvos. Misasik omnam biyesodos elokim. These are spiritual ideas, foundations. Aval ein achreach shemadregas. It doesn't mean that our souls are available and ready to sense more. We can do the actions of a mitzvah without the feeling of it. So it doesn't automatically mean it does not automatically mean that the neshama is there. So this idea of sort of trying to, again, we live in a very, very physical world, right? It's a little bit what we're talking about, the food beforehand, even the number of foods that we have are, you know, unimaginable, you know, however many years ago. And it's a very, very physical world. And, you know, how do we go about sort of trying to enter into a spiritual world when we're involved in a world which is so so physical? So there's the extreme approach of, you know, swearing off everything physical, which I don't think is what Hashem wants, and it's not very practical, and can't really be done. But there are ways to sort of put our mindset in the right way. So I'll share one idea. He doesn't talk about this here, but I think it fits in well with what he with what he means. So if you look through Chazal, it's clear that they viewed a fast as a strong spiritual tool. You know, to, whether it was for tefillah, for kapara, whatever it was, they would, even now, right after the Yom Tovim, there was a series of three fasts, Baha, Monday, Thursday, Monday, which I guess would begin, all right, Monday was Rosh Chodesh, so it always starts on a Monday. It's probably next Monday, Thursday, Monday. And there are certain people maybe who still practice these things, but they were much more common. And it was, part of it was to, you know, as spiritual as Yontif is, we sometimes overindulge in the physical as well. But we generally don't fast. We barely get through our fasts that we're supposed to get through, so we don't look for additional fasts. But there is a very interesting concept called the Tainas HaRavid. The Ravid, there are different Ravids, but this is, you know, the one who comments on the Rambam, one of the Rishonim. He has a different type of fast, which he claims still has the power of a, if you can do it, of a, and brings about the spiritual benefits of an actual fast. The Tainas HaRavid, we'll say it in two different ways. Both are true. You know, when you, let's say there are times where, you know, that we sometimes eat because we need to eat, and sometimes we want to eat good food because we like good food, and that's fine. There are other times where we, you know, out of nowhere, just suddenly have a desire. You know, we're driving along, and for whatever reason, we suddenly decide, you know, I really want Carvel. Out of nowhere, I wasn't even necessarily hungry. Whether, you know, I saw it out of the corner of my eye, whatever it is, I really want ice cream. So the concept of the Tainas HaRavid, it goes in one of two ways. Either, and again, it only works if it's coming from the right perspective. It's either to say, wow, I really want that ice cream, but I don't want to overindulge, and therefore I'm going to deny myself this one pleasure. Right now, this one time, right now. Meaning I'm going to overcome a desire that I have. And you sort of strengthen that muscle of self-control. And again, but it's not, if I do it because, you know, I really don't need those calories, that's not this. It might help for your self-control. But at the end, in terms of saying, you know, I need to be in control of you know, how much I engage in the physical. I have this desire right now, but I can overcome my physical desire. That's one form of the Tainas HaRavid. The second form, I'm not sure if it's harder or easier, is, let's say you're at home and you want the ice cream, and you take the ice cream out of the freezer, and you take the first bite of the ice cream, and then you say, okay, I'm going to stop. Sometimes that's harder, right? Once, so the Ravid kind of says, you know, if you're eating something that's really, really good, and you still want more, but you know you don't need it, you know, you're full, but, you know, you go to a restaurant, and you order, you know, whatever the fancy steak is, so at a certain point, you're satisfied, but I paid all this money for the steak. I'm not going to just leave this here. He says, at that point, he says, just stop. And leave over what's, okay, you want to take a whatever it is. But at the moment, again, when you still want to eat, but it's no longer eating because I need physical sustenance, it's really just a physical desire, stop at that point.
So is that the same or different than willpower?
It's a form of willpower, but the willpower is coming from a spiritual place. Meaning it's coming, what's driving my desire, or what's driving the will to stop, is that I don't want to overindulge. Not because of health, and not because of, again, those things are all important, but that's not what's driving it here. But here it's simply that I need to be in control of how much I am controlled by the physical world versus how much I control it. I didn't get so again to say, okay, I'm not gonna go to any good restaurants. It's a level, and I'm not saying there are people that maybe are on that and good for them. For me, that doesn't work. But we've tried this. I spoke at one at the table. I saw this. I don't know how long ago. It wasn't that long ago, and I brought it up Friday night at the table. So it's become a little bit of a joke, but it works sometimes. You know, sometimes dessert will come. You know, and somebody will say, "No, I just arrived it." So, but it's a certain mentality, and it's not easy. And you know, if you take that, you know, the first bite of the chocolate bar, to stop after one bite is harder. Is definitely harder than not taking it at all. But if you try it, you'll see. There'll be times you go wherever that cabinet is in the kitchen. Everybody's got one of those, and whatever it is, everybody's got their weakness. Whether it's for me, the peanut butter cups, whatever it is, as you're reaching towards it, you say, you know what, I'm going to stop just for the sake of being in control. It's not easy. Sometimes you'll walk and you'll come back again, but there's a certain fulfillment in knowing that you're in control yourself, which is true. There are probably health benefits as well. But fundamentally, I think it's a little bit of this idea as well, which is that I've taken a step out of the physical world into a spiritual. And that simply to show that I am in control and I don't need to overindulge in this world, I can make this change. That in and of itself has a spiritual power to it. And that's part, again, of this idea of making it the mitzvahs that we do, that we're used to, again, not that we don't get credit for them, but they're easy. You know, if you've grown up accustomed to making bracha or something, to stop and to really think about it, that's great. To just have the words come out of your mouth, it's almost on autopilot. And again, it's a good autopilot. You know, it's much worse to have the autopilot where the food goes in and nothing comes out. But that's not necessarily something, if it's just on autopilot, that's going to awaken the neshama. That's what he's talking about. I'm sure there are men who wrap their tefillin on every. It's somehow they got on. It's the same way when we drive. We don't always know how we got there, and the blinker goes on, and we don't think about these things. But as we're driving, they just kind of happen. So we can even be involved in mitzvos with them being really external to who we are and not internal. So if we could do it within the mitzvos that we're doing while we're doing them, that's great. But maybe with this suggestion, again, I can't believe he would disagree with this. He doesn't say it here. But it really fits in line with a lot of what he says. He does write this elsewhere. In one of his other books, maybe it's even in this book, I don't remember. Later on, he has this idea. This is the first time that I saw it somewhere. He doesn't quote the right, but I think he suggests as a way of working on your self-control, but again in a spiritual way, is at least, and it's a similar concept, but at least once a day say no to yourself. It sounds silly, but sometimes there one again, and it may not be about eating, maybe you have something else that I just want to do, but just and I but. I don't know. I want to go. I don't know. Whatever happens, something that you don't need to be doing, just for the sake of flexing that muscle of that's more willpower of self control, is guide yourself and train yourself to say no sometimes, and by doing that, then it strengthens even when a really negative. If I'm more used to saying no to myself, then even if I'm going to potentially speak lashon hara, whatever it is. It's easier to say no to it's easier to say no to myself. But again, it's specifically in terms of awakening the spiritual, I think that's at least a way of doing it with this Tainus HaRavid. Let's go to the next page. Basically says that as we want as much as possible to keep, and he's going to give a mashal in a second, we want to keep the flame alive. So even when we're distracted and we're doing other things, we want as much as possible to take those breaks that he's been talking about to keep that connection with Hashem. Why? So he gives an interesting mashal here. Mashal Ma'adah, what's this similar to? Bikiraim shel hagaz shanu makirim. If you're the stovetop, right? A gas stovetop. So yesh kama dargos bechozek halahava. so you can have different strengths to how strong the fire is. So if you put it and you turn it up all the way and the fire is on the highest, and then you lower it, let's say, to a simmer for, you know, after half an hour of it being with a strong fire and a boil. If you want to then turn it back to the big fire, right? You just have to do a small turn, and you can raise the fire back up again, as long as the fire is on. Why? Because the flame is still burning. You're just changing the degree to which it's burning. Memela, what emerges is ha'alav ha'arada yachasis kala. So relative adjustments once the fire is there is not so difficult. But im kiba ha'adam es ha'alav ha'lagam. But if you put out the fire completely, okay, so maybe not for us. He says you have to bring matches and you have to start the fire. So again, the mashal is not as perfect for us, but it definitely is easier when you're turning on the fire, you know, the first time. So you have to, you know, stop at the clicking thing until the fire ignites. Which again, maybe it's only a few seconds, but it certainly takes longer than if you want to make minor adjustments within the flame itself.
Nowadays, you really can't turn off the flame.
So it's a right
electronic, you know, starter.
Right.
Some people know how to do a quick skip that step.
Yeah, there are those. We assume that you can adjust the flame as long as it's on for the food.
Right.
As long as it's for the food. He's using the mashal just as a hashkafic point. He's saying that as long as we keep a connection, even if right now we're only simmering, because, you know, we're busy with other 1,000 other things and we're distracted, but we're doing little things to keep the connection with Hashem, then when we want to, you know, raise the temperature a little bit, it's much easier than if we've completely, you know, there are people that, you know, their spirituality is limited when I'm doing a mitzvah, when it's Shabbos, when I'm, whatever it is, and then the rest of my life, and they completely bifurcate their lives, and there's the spiritual personality, and there's the other personality, and there's no connection between the two, and you'll usually see it in how they conduct themselves. It impacts the person. What he's saying is that if you keep the connection, even if you're involved in you know, you gotta, you know, shop and whatever else you have to do, you know, you have to go to work, whatever a person is doing, which is not necessarily inherently spiritual, if within that you keep the fire going and don't let it go out, then it's a much smaller and easier adjustment to raise it. But if you have to start it again, and certainly, you know, if you're talking in Eretz Yisrael, you know, 20 years ago, even then probably, where you might have to even bring a flame and use even with the newer ones, after a while the starter goes and you bring the lighter thing and to light it until you feel like replacing it. But it requires a much bigger step. That's what he's saying also. Kach gam nirin, so too with in our context. B'tchilas havod, the beginning, im adam esiach daita afil l'rega, if we distracted ourselves even for a moment, ha'esh nichpeis, when the fire is still trying to ignite, if you don't pay attention to it, it may get blown out. V'nitzrach l'or mechadosh es koch, and Hashem, you have to start again. But if we keep the fire going, la'akash sha'adam zochem u'miskayem eto b'chinas, shal esh tamid tukan ha'zbeil chosichba, if we have a fire going, al mizbeach ha'pnimi, on our internal altars, b'vav mishkan evin, and building this place for Hashem inside of us, v'adam bonas ha'mizbeach v'vav b'tzurash esh tamid tukar, and we build the mizbeach this way, then we can hold on to it. Then we can hold on to it much better. Again, that's the idea that he says. I think, and again, in terms, I guess, the limited takeaway, I think this idea of being in control, again, besides being a value unto itself, I think fits in very nicely, and I think that's maybe the goal, if we can, you know, try to work on that. And it's not easy. If you try to, you know, when, even if it's something small, whatever the snack might be, You see how it goes. I'm curious because I've tried this a bunch of times, and then there are times, and it's true. Once you give in on the first one, it's much harder. You know, one peanut butter cup's not satisfying. You know, you got to get like 10 of them before. So after you have that first one, it's easier to sometimes to stop before that. So, but to use that and specifically through the lens of I'm doing this because I want to disconnect a little bit. I don't want to overindulge in the, yes, I'll eat my good food and I'll go to the restaurants and everything else, but there'll be times where I'm still in control of my world and can separate myself. So I think that can help together with, you know, all the other stoppages and the reminders that to keep Hashem on the radar screen and hopefully keep the flame going in a way that we can continue to inspire.